Well, glory, praise the Lord. I appreciate your attention, and hallelujah. It's good to see Miss Barbara back on the front line. Yeah, she's glad to be back. I told her at the door, I said, I needed you so much this morning. She goes, no, I need you more. I said, that is arguable. That is very much to be argued. Hallelujah, and I need every single one of you. You are all forbidden to die before 100, and I'm asking you to believe for 120. Hallelujah. Especially you ones that have the capacity, and I love everybody, but I'm saying, boy, the ones that have the capacity to help birth this thing, it's vital. This morning, as I said, I know it's prophetic. I'm not trying to build something up to try to advertise. I'm just saying I know what I have received. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm not trying to be indicative. I'm just telling you this. You'll either receive it or you won't. For those who have ears who can hear, they will hear. If you choose to say, no, I don't believe he's heard, that's okay with me. You can take that up with God. But it is a prophetic message. It is something that I heard directly from the Lord. I know this, and the Lord spoke this to me, that just general preaching of the word will not take us into revival. Now, I know that everything has to be predicated and founded on the word. But if you do not have a prophetic leadership, we are going through a maze. And the maze can only be navigated and brought, bringing us to the other side through a leadership of a living Lord. Now, that living Lord will couple everything he says with the truth of this word. But it is far from us if we're going to get to a place where we've never been and where nobody is at in the earth and what has not been seen in 2,000 years. We have to have a living Lord. In other words, a prophetic Lord that continues to say, this is what is happening. This is what you can't see behind the scenes. This is what has to be understood. Yes, preach the word. That's the foundation whereby we stand. But if you don't have glasses, if you don't have Holy Ghost glasses that you can put on X-ray vision and look into the spirit realm and say, I see it, I see what they're trying to do, and I see what Satan is trying to do, then we'll never get there. And our vision is this, a call to revival. It's just that simple. That's the vision of this church. It will be the vision of this church 25 years from now if Jesus still tarries, and that's what we're called to do. Today's lesson or today's message it's a simple title. It's one that has a little bit of difference to it, but it is called and it is named Revival Demons. Revival Demons. And I want to pray. Father, I worship you. I glorify you. I can do nothing of myself. But I stand in this place as you have placed me here along with other wonderful men and women who've been called to receive something in the earth that we've never ever seen in our lifetime and yet heard, especially by the pages of your word. Take us prophetically, Father. Take us, Holy Spirit, into realms guiding us and leading us by your Spirit in this hour, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We will get back to the lesson that he started 3 weeks ago, I believe, exchanging delegates. That was a good lesson. I think I'll have to almost the first little bit go back in and kind of reteach that part. There is so many. I've got pages and pages of notes, and that was all from the Holy Spirit. You know, it's just amazing. The Holy Ghost thinks he's in charge around here. So he'll give me something. It's good to be as a pastor or as a teacher that you've always got stuff out there. So you're supposed to be full, and you're supposed to have way more than you could ever give. But the good teacher doesn't give more than they can receive. So that's a good lesson to always learn. So the exchanging delegates will return, and we've got 3 or 4 wonderful lessons on that. Maybe we'll start that when we get back from Dayton. So This message is not for everyone, but I'm glad everyone is here. And this message is not for everyone that's watching, but I'm glad that you're watching. But it is. It sounds paradoxical, but it is for everyone as well. For anyone that wants to receive it, anyone that can receive it, anyone that qualifies into it, and wherever you're at, you're going to receive. That's the message. The message of revival is so strong that even if we preach revival to those who are not on the road to revival, the anointing will be so strong that the evangelistic call of the Holy Spirit will, he'll draw people in. Do you understand that? It's beyond us. He'll draw people in. I was trimming the hedge a few days ago, and if you spend your hours praying first, you can go trim the hedge and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. I was trimming the hedge and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and he began to speak to me in my spirit. It was coming up. And the Lord said something that I had to have him coin. In other words, come to a place where I could capsulize it and put it in words. He said, the war has changed. The war has changed from flesh to devils. The war has changed from flesh to devils. And I'll clarify. The revivalist, and I'm not going to go around and pick, that's not my, you know who you are, and you know who you are out there. Revivalists have crossed a line from a warfare of flesh to a warfare of devils. Now I'll add something to that, because by revelation I know that you'll never ever stop having a war with the flesh as if to keep it under. You'll always have a 1 Corinthians 9:27 lifestyle, which is Paul said, I'll keep under my body and I'll not allow it to go into excess in anything, lest having preached to others, I myself become a castaway. There'll never be a time ending in this life that you'll ever say, I've laid down all fleshly desires. You're living in a body, but that doesn't mean the body has to sin. So I'm not talking about no more wars with the flesh. In fact, I'm not the one saying this anyway, but I have, having received the revelation, have an ability by the Holy Spirit and by his grace to interpret what he's saying. So it's not like no more wars with the flesh, but the war has changed for the revivalist. When I say the revivalist, I'm talking about a male, female, young person, young adult, whoever you are that is truly engaging in this and has fought the war already for a while with your flesh, and understand the mortification process. And that's a lot of you out there as well. I'll read that statement again because it deserves it. The revivalists have crossed a line from a warfare of flesh to a warfare of devils. Now, a couple of years ago, I had the privilege to teach by the direction of the Holy Spirit on the book of Ephesians, and I would term those teachings, although they may have had another name, the Ephesians Wars or the Ephesian Wars, because in that teaching the Lord began to show some revelation that I had not seen before, and I tried to get it over to you, that there are two types of war: the war inside and the war outside. The war with the flesh and the war with the devil. And I'm talking about in the book of Ephesians. Paul did a masterful job in teaching the Ephesians in all those chapters. And he taught them as a father, but he taught them very prophetically. And he taught them in two different areas. And one was the war inside and the war outside. The war with the flesh and the war with the devil. Victory inside will qualify you for victory outside. victory inside, and we're not going to reteach that lesson. But for 5.5 chapters, Paul goes into, and I believe if I had the script in front of me, it would be like 20-something. It's between 20 or 30, 20, maybe it's 25, something like that. It's a bunch of particular instructions in the first 5.5 chapters on how to win the war over your flesh. And don't do this, do this. Don't do this, do this. Do this, don't do that. And it's particular instructions of how to mortify the flesh. That's the first war. In the very last chapter, Paul goes into teaching just in a short, by way of comparison, a very short snippet of how to overcome the war with Satan. Now, the end game, let me just say this. The end game is that we come to a place of a formidable war with spirituality and win the war over our region. And God is able to secure a revival, a permanent revival over this house and over this region. But God is working with us to get us to that place where we're able to fight those principalities in a formidable way. I'm talking about in a way in which we rock the heavens. No group in 2,000 years, no group in 2,000 years has won a sustainable victory over both. Not since Pentecost. I can prove this by history. That's an argument for another day. But there's never been a group that's had a sustainable, ongoing, continuation revival where they won over both, first the flesh, and then was able to move and push back principalities over a region and bring to the earth a sustainable victory of revival. Otherwise, it would be ongoing today. And that's proof positive. That's proof for my argument. God will work a lifetime with a person to win the inside war just for the chance of launching the outside war, and that's moving principalities. Again, this is for ears who have, for people who have ears to hear. You say, well, I have ears. I'm talking about spiritual ears. Honestly, when I first received this, and then I went about 3 days in it, the first couple of days, I had all plans on having an after service, afterglow, with just inviting any male or female that would want to come forward, stay after church, and sit up here and let me talk to you for 15, 20 minutes about some of the demonic spirits that we're going to announce today. And it was going to be by invitation only. I felt it that important, by invitation only. And I knew that people would be watching, and if they heard, they said, well, and I also gave that to the Lord. I said, Lord, anybody that wants to hear, they'll contact me. They'll contact me. You know, I've found out there are sometimes where you make everything available for everybody, and then sometimes you make it hard for people, because in making it harder for people to find certain things, they qualify themselves. It's the old adage, if you have no skin in the game, if you have no skin in the game, nothing, you know, the jewels mean nothing to you. Value of things mean nothing to you. People with skin in the game, if you'll allow me that, in this, will find you. They'll track you down. So we always want to make everything available. And then when the wisdom of God says, make it a little harder for them, they'll track you down if they're qualified. We'll follow that as well. But the Lord said, no, go ahead and let everybody hear, because there's a lot of people, make it easier, because there'll be a lot of revivalists that relate to this church and to Pastor Jim's church and what's going on in Tulsa as well. Hallelujah. So God will work a lifetime, as I said. This is when God can exalt you to your call and the believer's anointing. God is working on us to exalt us to our call. And we're looking for that exaltation. The demographics of this church will change drastically in the days ahead. I'm telling you this. I know this. I'm certain. It's been a wonderful, wonderful ride up till now. And we're all going in together. But there will be things that will take place in the days ahead, and a lot of changes, wonderful changes, as God exalts us to a place of receiving the harvest. We're not there yet, but we're headed there. Hallelujah. There's no one presently on the earth. Well, let me finish up by saying that last statement again. Presently, at best, this is when I said God can exalt you to your call and the believer's anointing. I'll qualify that for just a moment. I need to take time here to lay this out, and I need to follow this. The believer's anointing, without going into a lot of teaching, is the anointing that Jesus walked in. It's the present tense, always available, without gifts anointing. Gifts are wonderful. We are to covet gifts. I appreciate everything the Holy Spirit is doing in gifts. But there is a higher calling than that. And that's the believer's anointing. You shall lay hands on the sick, not by qualification of gifts, but because you are what you are, which is a Holy Spirit-filled, having a ability to wait on people. I am the waiter at this fine restaurant, sir. Wait. They come to you. I can't serve you today because that gift is not working. No, Jesus was the waiter that waited with the believer's anointing. It flowed from him like it's going to flow from you and I in these last days with such a certainty. Now, we don't disdain or think less. There are those that are doing a wonderful work. I was watching a video concerning things that Mario Morello, some things that are happening in his tents, and it was wonderful because I saw a little bit of a transition in his testimony from gifts to believers' anointing. In other words, people were coming in without having to have hands laid on them. Hands is great. We'll always do that. But they were being healed without him having to call people out. It's wonderful when you go and they call you out, but what if you don't get called out? What if it wasn't your turn? The believer's anointing brings everybody's turn up. And it reckons with the moment in time and says, now's your moment. Hallelujah. There is no one presently on the earth working in the believer's anointing. I say that welcoming pushback. If I get pushback, that's fine. Please email me where that's working so I can begin to study and be a part of that. All other potential sustainable revivals have come to this place and been thwarted. In other words, there has been people prior to us that have come to this point, and then it has been thwarted or has been stopped by a strategic army. You have to. We're not doing something out of turn here, but you have to give the devil his due. You have to understand that he has thwarted, he has stopped multiple uprisings through history. But this, we have it from a good source. We have it from the Word of God, in which I believe is contextually telling us that there will be a sustainable revival all the way to the end. And then we have a new a great deal of prophetic words that verifies that this coming revival will be the one that will last all the way to the end. I'm glad, because I want to be a part of that. I don't want to be another history. I don't want somebody else to write about us in history. It came. It was wonderful. It lasted 5 years. There was a lot of people saved. And then it just stopped. And that's what's happening now in the earth. This is a place where there's a great tug of war that's going on, a tremendous tug of war in the spirit that's taking place. And if you'll just notice it, if you take any amount of time to just sit and think for a few moments and observe spiritually, you'll see uprisings and a wonderful, upticks, uprisings, sparks, flames, like the Asbury. Then you'll read about all these college campuses. Then you won't hear about it anymore. It's not some of it's still going on, but there's this tug of war, and there's you'll hear things. Wow, this looks like it's just about to explode, and then it'll kind of cool down, and it'll. Then you'll hear something else, and I like to hear and read some of the stuff that Mario's having, because it keeps me in the natural, well, in the spiritual as well, believing there's something going on, even when you can't see it. But nationwide, you see these things where it's up, and then it kind of planes itself out. You don't see so much of that. But the Lord said to me, and I had these notes. I saw a video yesterday, but I had all these notes. It was amazing that some of these same scriptures were in there. The Lord said, I want you to stand up Sunday morning and sound an alarm. I want you to sound an alarm to the people. And I'm just going to read some scripture here. You can follow along. Some of it's somewhat lengthy, but it's important that we get this. If you're quick in your Bible, that's fine. I'm not going to wait. I'm sorry, just because of the sake of time. Now, Joel chapter 2, verse 1 says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, and let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The Lord said, I want you to sound an alarm to the people, and I want you to, the people that are watching, I want them to hear that there are things going on that if we're going to receive a revival, we're going to have to overcome some. You'll hear more in just a moment. Listen to this. Turn with me, or if you want to, Exodus 17:8. This is an extreme example of a tug of war that took place in the spirit. It says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur, those three, again, Moses, Aaron, and Hur, went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass that when Moses held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. You got the picture? Moses did this. Joshua's down in the valley. Moses is up on the mountaintop. Joshua has hundreds of thousands of soldiers, or tens of thousands, fighting against Amalek. They're fighting, and boy, you can see, boy, that guy falls. That guy falls. As long as Moses, I mean, these are people. These are lives. That guy got stuck. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. Then if his hands begin to come down, then you see the tide changes, and Amalek begins to kill Israelis. Amalek begins to turn and cause them to back up and the back up. So it's a tremendous picture of spiritual warfare. And it came to pass, 12, and Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone, that's Aaron and Hur, and put it under him. and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, what happened? There was a tremendous spiritual battle going on, and as a result of it, there was a war, you know, there was a warfare in the spirit. The warfare in the spirit could not be seen. You can't see, except to know by the spirit that there are demonic forces that are trying to keep us from going into revival. Remember again, the Lord said this, for the revivalist, the war has switched. In other words, there's been enough spiritual growth and mortification that the onus or the weight of the war has shifted from a warfare against the flesh, first part of Ephesians, first 5.5 chapters. Now it has crossed a line to where it's a direct confrontation against spirituality. And we'll discuss more on that. Give me some help here, some Aaron's and hers. What did they do? Moses, I don't know that I qualify for Moses, but I'm telling you this by way of example. Moses has two intercessors on top of the mountain with him. He has an incredible warrior that is going to take over the church one day. He's in the valley, and he's fighting like crazy. Now, this is physical battle, but there's also a spiritual. There's two things taking place at once. One can be seen. The other one cannot be seen. One can be seen and heard and felt, and physical things are actually happening. Swords are clanging, shields are clanging, people are dying, blood is being shed. There's screaming and fighting, and you know, the women and children are probably 3 miles away, but they can hear from the camp that the army is fighting Amalek, and there's like, what's going on over there? We're praying for our husbands. But the warrior of God, or the spiritual leader, was Moses at the time, but he had two men that went with him. And when they set a rock down for him, because prior to the rock being set down and him sitting on the rock, other spiritual implications or messianic teachings there, but before he sat on the rock, when he would get tired again, battle won, battle lost. But what did these two guys do for him throughout the battle? They helped hold up his arms. They helped hold up his, I can feel the presence of God. Or at least something went through me. Hallelujah. They held up his arms. And as they held up his arms, there was a prevailing. There was a spiritual prevailing in the spirit. And as they fought that day, those two men stood there and held up his arms in the spirit. Hallelujah. You get the example. Amen. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Aaron and Hur. Amen. Wonderful guys. Spiritual warfare. More. Daniel chapter 10. Go there with me. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, now you know Daniel's in captivity, Babylon. Can't teach the logistics of the history thereof, but most of you already know it. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, Daniel says of himself, was in mourning 3 full weeks. He was in fasting, at least some type of restrictive fast he was in. I ate no pleasant bread. He was in a partial. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 4th and the 20th day of the first month, as I was at the side of the great river Hiddekel, Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as a lamp of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of multitude. And Daniel alone saw the vision, and for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quakening fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face and my face towards the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me on my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. I'm come for thy words. The angel was released on the first day, but he said this. Here's spiritual warfare. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, 21 days. He said from the beginning, for 3 full weeks, I was fasting. I was seeking the Lord. So from the very moment that he began to ask God for the petition over Israel, God began to release the word to him. And yet this angel says, the prince of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And then skipping down to verse 20, just to reiterate more, spiritual warfare. Then he said, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will return to fight with the prince of Persia? And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Hallelujah. The prayers of the intercessors empower angelic beings. They really do. They are not going to move. Somebody said, that's Old Testament. We're living in a new dispensation. We have the Holy Spirit now. I understand that. But a New Testament example is the prayers of the saints. When Peter was in jail, loosed an angel to go and get him. If they had not been in an intercession, I don't believe that angel would have had the authority to go there. God looks from heaven to see if he can send an angel, but the angel, once he's in his assignment, is hoping that you and I will give him prayer coverage. Do you understand that? This angel was saying to Daniel, I was in a warfare, and I was really kind of stuck. Because it was a real war, and I don't understand all those kinds of things, and we're not going to teach a seminar on it today, but I do know understand this, that God in his infinite wisdom has not only designed human beings, but he's also created angels as servants, Hebrews tells us, as servants for those who will be heirs to salvation. And so God in his infinite wisdom employs angels for us. And so we understand that much of the heavenly realm is controlled by this spiritual warfare that takes place. We do ourselves a terrible injustice in going forth in revival when our battle is only within ourselves concerning the flesh. We also have to turn another great deal of our attention having won or in a process of winning, to turn our attention to an understanding of what is happening around me, what is taking place around me. Intercessors will they'll know what's going on around them. They really will. And see, but Satan will do everything he can to put as much against the intercessors to distract them. When I say the word intercessor, it probably, for many of you, it pops in your way of thinking, oh, that's some women in this church. And there are some wonderful women who are intercessors in this church. But there are also men that are called. You don't know you're called, but you are. And you are doing the work of an intercessor. You're doing things in the spirit that are moving things. And you will catch things. You will understand things. Sometimes when... I'll move on. Praise God for leadership of the Holy Spirit. The prayer of the intercessor empowers angels. And of course, we shared the example of Peter. Each of us are to be those that are intercessors. You have, this is the hour of the intercessor. It really is. And all of you rough, tough men, what have you, however you think of yourself, you're called, so many of you, he who has ears to hear, to bring forth intercession, to birth this revival, to hold up the hands of each other, and to hold up these services, and those that are you're watching, to hold up the services, to be the Aarons and Hers. I'm asking you, I'm begging you, and I'm not saying that you're not, but I'm asking you to please pray for your pastor. Please pray for your pastor. Well, pastor, if you really don't need it, we're the ones in the battle. I'm not trying to be prideful here. Do you think that you can spearhead something? Be the spearhead, the leader for something, and be left out of the battle? If you were going to go after anybody. Okay. Pastor Dave used to say, are you praying for me? Are you praying for me? And I believe that many of you are, and I appreciate that. But not just me. All of us have to hold each other up. And I'm asking you, I'm not getting on to you, but come to church. I heard some wonderful testimonies. I thought, boy, these guys are coming up. There are going to be some preachers. And there's some more of you guys that you could have stood up here and gave those great testimonies. Do you know when you come to church, if the pastor ever asks you to do something, lead something, give a testimony, do something in church, you're going to come that day and you're going to be on the top of your game. Right? Because you don't want to stand up and act silly in front of everybody. You want to have something ready for somebody. But then a lot of times when you're just thinking, I'm going to church, you're like, man, I'm going to church. Whoo! Life just got me. And I hope Pastor has something good today. Yeah. Feed me. You know where revival lives? Is when a bunch of people come to church and they're ready, just like Pastor had asked them to lead the service. Hallelujah. Just like you had an assignment. So let's hold each other's hands up. Let's pray for one another. Pray for your pastor. Pray those of you that the other thing too is we don't have to, yes, the Lord has asked us to corporately come and pray, but we don't always have to be here. I believe there's a mobilization of intercessors. Hallelujah. Rex and Marsh are on the road a lot. Listen, I'll bet you while they're on the road, they're praying for this church. I'm praying for them. I believe they're praying for us, praying for the Marty and Gay are traveling back and forth to Georgia and this and that and the other. Listen, there's a mobile. You can be a you don't have to be seated in one spot to be an intercessor. but we have to birth this thing. Is everybody okay? How about the temperature? Are we okay? Everybody feeling good? Hallelujah. Maybe it's me. I'm just warm. Get the Holy Ghost all over me and... This is a time, the most valuable people that I have among us right now, and you watching, you don't have to be here. You are, please, as you're watching, if you look at this as your home church, understand there's a spiritual warfare here. This is a time of war. Birth it with us. Pray for this man. Pray for all of us. I love it when intercessors are acute to, like, what's going on. Sometimes, listen, when we don't have a spirit that's invading us or coming at us, I'll get home and somebody will say, did you hear that baby? My God. And I said, no, I didn't hear it. Did you watch this? No, I didn't hear it. I used to have Rex all the time. Rex, clean up on aisle three, please. Come and either take the child, beat the parent, do something. My God, I can't concentrate. Now, because of an advancement in where I've come to, I'm like, no, I didn't hear that. Except when we have visitations. Wednesday night was a visitation. And I don't want nobody to feel bad. I don't know if sometimes you got to go check on your kids. Sometimes you got to go to the bathroom or you're going to pee on yourself. I don't want you to do that. We don't want you to have to clean up. But then there's some services where I'm looking and I'm like, there's static in the air. There's absolute static in the air. And I know, and Candy, she can't even see up here. Out there, and we drove in, she goes, my God, what was going on Wednesday night? Or what was going on tonight? Said it was one of those visitations. He wanted to get my attention off the moment. I'm asking intercessors to stay in a spiritual realm, not get goofy, but stay in a spiritual realm. See, this generation has not seen a lot of spiritual things take place. I've almost in my heart welcomed the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, well, we want to set the captive free, but I've also welcomed the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, it might be good if we had some demonic, manifestations. I'm trying to say this in the right way, where we cast out some devils around here. Some of you've never seen devils cast out. You don't know, you don't really believe so much in that realm until you see something taking place that you cannot explain and makes the hair on the back of your head stand up. And then you realize, wait, this is not a game. There's a real realm over there. Now, I've cast them out. And even when I'm casting them out, sometimes their growls and their barks and their, you say, well, that is for uneducated third world places where their intellectual capabilities have not come to a place where they have derived. Listen, they erupted everywhere Jesus went. The reason why that they're not, I hate to say it, the reason why there's not more of eruption of them in our services is the power just hasn't been turned up enough. You turn up the power, the pig will squeal. And I'm kind of like, I'd like to have some of you see me cast out some devils, not for me to show off, but just so you would say, wow, I've been living in the natural world. He's asking intercessors to live in both worlds. Know the temperature of every room in the spirit. Know the temperature of every restaurant, mall, place that you go in. And the day, the Lord will show you the day. He'll show the approachment of the enemy. Glory be to God. Isaiah 60 verse 1. We're going to get to the prophetic here in just a moment. Isaiah 60 verse 1. If you want to turn there. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Here's the dichotomy. We're going to see this thing escalate more and more into a demonic realm over our nation. We're hoping, we're believing that something changes. Revival will change America, but without America, without revival, America is doomed. It really is. Without a revival, it is not going to make it. Not in any peaceable status. It could go to without a it could have some kind of change with an 1860, and that's not too far fetched. An 1860 5-year civil war, but this time not 500,000 will die, hundreds of thousands will die in a civil war, and that's not too far fetched. But we're believing for a revival where it peaceably is changed. It's peaceably changed. Hallelujah. Because without it, the world is sinking incredibly fast, and only revival will change. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about thee, and see, and all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. And it's talking about our spiritual and our physical. If they're not yet born again, they'll come in. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted into thee. And the forces of the Gentiles, God give us this. God give us this. The forces of the Gentiles shall be converted or come to thee. This is a time of war, an absolute time of war. I'll read this. You don't have to turn here, but you can. But Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 says, "And to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to pluck up and a time to be plant, a time to plant. There's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. There's a time to break down and there's a time to build up. There's a time to weep and then there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and then there's a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones and there's a time to gather stones. There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to get and there's a time to lose. There's a time to keep and a time to cast away. There's a time to rend and there's a time to sow, and there's a time to keep silent and a time to speak. And there's a time to love and there's a time to hate, and there's a time of war and there's a time of peace." We are in a time of war. We are in a time of war. And I want us to keep a heart of joy, a heart of peace, but also an incredible sobriety. This thing will not be birthed by anything less than an incredible place of sobriety in the spirit. You better learn how to fight spiritual warfare if you're going to win. If you're going to win. Most of the body is just so naive. Just what I was talking about. They just, you know, they come to church, or they do what they do, and they don't even really realize that so much of their life is being manipulated by demonic spirits and things that are around them. Devils will continually react in our church if we move in. And of course, we just covered this, but power solicits devils in deliverance. And the other thing too is, listen, I have a fair IQ. I don't know what it is completely, but I think it's pretty good. But I believe in science, and I believe that there is, it, not everything's a devil. I love sports medicine. I take an incredible amount of supplements, a lot of supplements, but I stay healthy all the time, and I'm so thankful for that. So I believe supplements, and I believe hormones, and I believe in all these kinds of things. But I'm telling you, I'm also old school in this, and I'll never divorce myself from it. So much of what is going on in the physical realm against people is demonic, or else he will take a symptom and push it to its full limits. and he will push it. And so millions, there are millions. Now, please don't feel bad if you're on medication, because this doesn't mean that there's an actual complete devil there. But millions of people, why don't I say it like this? There are millions of devils that are being treated by medication. Millions of devils, billions of devils that are being treated by medication. And so, you know, again, some things can be hormonal, and I believe that. And I was at a concert the other night. I enjoyed it for what it was. It was just mostly good entertainment, but it was good. It was really good. And they did sing some spiritual songs. It was one group I really liked. But most people, and I don't even try to be nitpicky. I just hear things. I can't, I'll never switch my discerner off for an occasion to enjoy the moment. My discerner's on all the time. It's running like it never stops. I walk into a room, I walk into a concert, I walk into, let's have fun. Okay, I'll have fun, but don't ever ask me to turn this thing off. I'll always be discerning what's going on. So, you know, they were like, it's okay, it's okay. Now, I understand where some of them are going, like there's no condemnation. I understand, but it was more than that. It's okay to be schizophrenic. It's okay to be bipolar. And I know what, because I know these are good old Baptist groups. You know, they're good non-spirit-filled groups. And so there's no way to take them to a place beyond where they're at, except they have that revelation. But listen, Jesus paid a price for that. And I'm not saying every single one of them are, but we have gotten to a place where we have gotten so sophisticated. We have so doctrinized ourselves. So doctrinized with science. I know this would offend some people, but listen. Pastor Dave, I have to say that it's a Dave-ism. He would say, what's bipolar? It's two polar bears saying bye. There are millions and millions of demons being treated by medicine. Now, you can treat a demon with medicine. You can keep it at bay to a certain level. But how about and not all Christians are, you know, I'm not saying a Christian, I do not believe a Christian can be demon possessed. I do not. Because a devil cannot live in a spirit, your born again spirit. I believe I have word to prove that there you can be oppressed. But why not let's go to the root and just get it all out? I heard a wonderful testimony yesterday. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 4:6. We must learn to live life and fight at the same time. Now, you can turn there. We're doing good, although I'm not super concerned about going a few minutes over. Thank you, Natalie. Nehemiah 4:6 says, so, and again, this is Nehemiah, quick history lesson. Captivity of the Jews, 70 years captivity in Babylon. There had been two waves of people going back to Israel from Babylon to restore. Ezra, Zerubbabel were in those first couple of waves. Ezra was a governor, he was a priest. He started working on the temple he started bringing back the people to God by resurrecting the word of God. Zerubbabel started building the temple. And then later, many years later, after a hiatus, Nehemiah comes in and he starts building the wall. So Nehemiah is a wall builder and he's trying to reconstruct and bring back a wall around the city of Jerusalem. Now Nehemiah 4:6 says this, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very angry, very wroth, and it conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder us. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, that's all the people, the strength of the bearer of the burdens is decayed. In other words, the labors are being wore out, and there's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build a wall. Now, this wall was tore down many years earlier by Nebuchadnezzar, the invading Babylonian that came in. And our adversary said, verse 11, they shall not know, neither shall they see. Now, this is the rhetoric of what these people on the outside, the Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Amorites or Arabians had said to them. You'll not see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times. In other words, they repeated it over and over. For all the places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon us. In other words, there was a fear, like, they're coming, they're going to get us. Therefore I set in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Now, again, I reiterate, these are people that are working, and spiritually, or I'm saying spiritually, they were physically having to get ready to fight, but we're going to change it and say they were spiritually ready, simultaneously doing two things at once. You're ambidextrous in the spirit. You can live your life and fight in the spirit at the same time. Hallelujah. So, and he looked, and I looked, and rose up and said unto the nobles and unto the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, and your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, verse 15, it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, see, exposure to the devil it'll thwart the enemy. And God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall and every one of us to his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spear, the shield, the bow, and the harbingers. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which built on the wall, and they that bear the burden with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and the other held a weapon. For the builders, every one of them had his sword girded by his side, so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. In other words, they were ready to fight at any time. They had a fight war disposition. If we're going to win this, we're going to have a warfare disposition. I'm not asking you to go around with a sour face saying, like, I'm in war. No, but listen, stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. We got to birth this thing. We got to fight this thing. I'm asking some of you all of us really need to listen to this message again. I just implore you sometime in the next week, listen to this again. Those that are watching, maybe that's something the Lord will speak to all of us to do, just to get it inside of us. Verse 19. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great. Well, I would think so. Revival is something we've never seen or done. It's large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. And in that place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So the Lord told me, blow a trumpet this morning, and that's what we're doing. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem. In other words, come under this covering. It's very important that in the night they may be guarded, be a guard to us, and labor on the day. Last verse. So verse 23. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving everyone Everyone put them off for washing, only for washing. In other words, I mean, that's labor intensive. That's ready. That's like, we're going to sleep in our clothes. We're going to, you know, labor, our, you know, obviously. But it was a constant until the wall was built, And so that's very important. As I said, we're not going to win this battle with general, just teaching of the word. It's got to be more. It's got to be strategic. It's got to be teaching the word and strategic, prophetic insight. And I'm leading up to something. That's why I'm pausing in my thoughts, because I know the Lord wants to get this across. The Lord spoke to me, and he spoke to me very specifically. And again, this is not a list. I'm not saying that you can't add to the list. That you do with it what you want. But it's not a list like, oh, I could have thought of that one, and I could have thought of more. I could have added to that. It was just a specific, God told me this. He said, this is the spirits, the demonic spirits, they're coming, present tense, to this church and to the church out there to stop. And he gave me names for each one of them. I tried to add to it. I thought, you know, what about the one of this, and what about the one of that, and what about the... And the Lord said, I'm not saying that. I didn't. He said, you put down what I told you to put down. That's what you put down. And you specifically say those demonic spirits. Now, the first one that he showed me, let me read just a little bit further here. Right? I don't want to get ahead of myself. The fight presently is not, again, I'll reiterate that this, it's not birth from the flesh. The fight presently that the revivalists are going through is not being birthed. Again, I'll reiterate, you'll always have to keep your flesh under, but the fight primarily to stop revival is not coming from a place where your flesh, as much as it is from the demonic realm. It's a gross, I want to say this, it's a gross misunderstanding for a revivalist. It really is. Because I think it takes away from your understanding of being able to be very fulcrum type, your mind just at the pinnacle of understanding, for you to think everything's the flesh, 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 flesh. Yes, there's a war. Yes, there's a war. The five and a half chapters of Ephesians, the Ephesians war are get prepared, die so you can fight this last part of the battle. But it's a gross misunderstanding to believe that everything is... That the approachment, I'll just read it as I've got it down. The approachment of something old means that it never was completely transformed. In other words, this part I'll just kind of ad lib in the spirit. But I saw in the spirit a revisitation of demonic spirits to stop the church. And he who has ears to hear, God bless you to hear. But a revisitation, now a misnomer of waiting to say it or a way of understanding is to believe that, okay, I've been free in this area. And then 5 years later, this shows up, or 10 years later, this shows up. We're going to list 8 demonic, that's what he gave me. Well, you forgot this one, Pastor. I didn't forget anything. You do with it what you want. I'm telling you what he said to me. 8 demonic spirits that have been unleashed on the church, present tense, this church and those that are watching. But to believe that when the approachment of these demonic spirits, if they come to the revivalist, to think that you feel, if you feel the weight of them or you feel their venom, is to believe that, oh, wow, if I was truly transformed, then I never would be facing this, because transformed people don't ever feel these things again or fight these things again. And that's just not true. That's not scripturally true. Well, do you have proof? And yes, without going into it very great lengths, I know this. One road tested this before me. His name was Jesus. Now, strongholds are thoughts that are not completely transformed. Strongholds are. Strongholds are thoughts and emotions that are only one generation removed. When I say one generation, they're only like one step removed from sin. Just because you have a stronghold, you can keep it at bay until James chapter 1, when lust is conceived, then it brings forth sin. But you can keep a stronghold while it's in a transformation process of being mortified. You can keep it under lock and key until it's transformed. But it is a misunderstanding to believe that once it is transformed, that as long as you keep praying, keep going forward, you always retain that transformation. And just because the devil circles back around, one of the things I learned from Pastor Dave, he says, don't ever think that the devil won't circle back around 5 years later and try to recede, go back and see if he can start it over. To believe that it wasn't never dead would be incorrect. Now, some things might, on some people's journey, might not be dead. But I'm talking strategic warfare here. I'm talking about us going through a maze here. If you tell me Jesus had a stronghold in his flesh, I'm going to punch you in the nose. Strongholds are thoughts and imaginations that have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God. In other words, you've toyed with them, but they don't necessarily come to sin. But they could. It could come to sin. But then there is the mortification that brings forth a transformation where that thing is not really alive in you anymore. Now, Jesus was not, James 1, led of his own lust into the wilderness. The Bible says the Holy Spirit sent him into the wilderness. Did he feel the temptation? Absolutely. Your natural flesh, because it is made up of all the enzymes of flesh, can still feel the temptation because it is a body that was given to us by the first Adam. Can you imagine how wonderful this last Adam is? He didn't get the privilege of the body to wear the body that the first Adam wore. The first Adam, he didn't have any strongholds in his flesh. There's only one commandment: don't eat of that. What would have done to say don't lust? For who? Should just me and her. Don't covet. The love of money. There's no love of money. I got everything. I own the whole earth. There's only one, and he had no strongholds in his flesh. But he had a will. The last Adam, he inherited a body from a fallen. In other words, his body was a fallen body. It could feel the draw, but did it have strongholds in it? No, it did not. If you tell me he entertained things to where that when what Satan put on him or come against him was part of his own. No, sir. No, sir. He did not. He had a fallen body that could feel the pull. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Some of you are waiting to say, what are the spirits? Jesus did not have strongholds. Hallelujah. The Lord said the first spirit that has come to do its best to distract us in this hour is the spirit of infirmity. There is, now I'm not telling you that one spirit is omnipresent, but they will come with entourages. And there are more people than you know that are fighting things in their bodies. And they are fighting things in many different ways. And I'm telling you that when you've won something, even if you won something, we're living in an hour that he will try to come back. Now, this isn't a moral issue, but demonic spirits have been unleashed, and the Lord said there's a spirit of infirmity that has been unleashed against this church. Now, at the end, I'm going to give you a few moments. I'm going to give you some scripture. I wish I had a printout. Maybe we'll do that and put a PDF along with this message. Because you've got to fight demons. We've got some scripture things on our website. Some of them were produced by Gary Carpenter. We put them up, financial and healing. And then Sarah came, the Lord inspired her to write one on emotions. We put that up. And we've invited you to say, confess those things. Now, and that will have an overlay against these. But I'm telling you this, that you kind of have to fight demons with demon scriptures. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Some direct, I'll knock you down and I'll hit you in the face and I'll punch you in the nose. Because we're not playing, you're playing ugly and we're not going to play real nice either. Okay. So there is a spirit of infirmity. A lot of you have faced it. A lot of you are facing it now. Yes, I know we can go real mind here. We can talk about that there's things out there. There's sicknesses out there. There's flus out there. There's this. But I'm telling you, he wants to bring a diversion through infirmity. You're going to have to stand if Satan comes and comes to your door in the next few months and tries to put something back on you that you've gotten rid of. Understand, don't go mental on me. Mental starts saying, oh, I just need to keep up with my medicine. You need to slap that devil right in the face. You spirit of infirmity. You're not going to enter this house and you're not going to enter my body. I haven't picked up on this, so this is not any of these things. I'm not even going to try to justify them. You know where my heart's at. The Lord said there is a spirit that is coming or is here or might be among us or is among us and those out there. It's a spirit of division. It's a spirit of division. The first one was infirmity, the spirit of division. Devils are going to try to come. Even if you're mortified, even if you've transformed, even if you're walking in a place, we are in spiritual warfare now. Yes, continue to mortify, but understand some of you have you've not received your glorified body yet. I'm not saying that. Keep winning, keep fasting, keep praying, but demonic spirits are going to come at times and accuse the brethren. Or they're going to come and try to cause offenses. Or they're going to come and try to cause accusation. He is the accuser of the brethren. And that doesn't mean that he's just standing and accusing. He creates an atmosphere of accusing. For us to receive revival, we have to be in one mind and in one accord. We all have to be going the same path. The same path. And a devil called a devil of division has been unleashed on the church. The third one that the Lord spoke to me, and you said, well, we're saints, I know, and I'm talking to saints. But I'm telling you, I don't care if you're 70, if you're 80, if you're 90. And people say, well, this is about men. It's not about men. It can be men or women. But the Lord said to me this, and I wrote it down. He said, there is a spirit of lust and perversion that has been unleashed on the church. Lust and perversion. Someone that I'm very close to, love very much. I'm not going to say their name, but they came to me yesterday, said, you know, I'm sick. I said, what is it? They said, I just seen something. Just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I said, oh, well, God, erase it from your memory. They just walked in a coffee shop, not in Los Angeles or not in Miami, but in the good old boy town of LaBelle. And they, as soon as they walked into the coffee shop, there's an 80-year-old man sitting there with his laptop open with extreme child pornography going on at the same time. Now, the man needs to be locked up. He needs to be locked up. You say, you should have compassion. I'll have compassion on him in jail. Now, Mr. DeSantis still will put those kinds of people in prison. It's still a law. But the problem is catching them and putting them at the scene of the crime. I'm telling you that there are hordes of devils out there today, like never before. You don't know how many perverts you're walking around every day. You better have an antenna. There's a lot of perverts. They want to destroy your kids. They want to destroy your life. But I'm not talking about them. Thank God we live in Florida. If Mr. Gavin Newsom is made it legal for that to take place in his beautiful state of California, and make no mistake about it, I won't go political, but make no mistake about it, he is going to be taxing as a forerunner for this next, as a front runner for this next election. If they can get him in there, God help us. But we will have our revival no matter what. But I'm not talking about the perversion out in the world. I'm talking about what is coming, what will come and could come, even if you're transformed. Now, you'll know the difference if there's a real drawing. If there's a real drawing, and you can't stop it, then you need to go back and get some more mortification, do some more fasting and praying. But Satan also will come to get you fighting yourself, thinking, there's something wrong with me, there's something wrong with me. Jesus withstood three major temptations that were only the abbreviation, the title to underscoring multiple types of. I'm sure that he felt the draw of some impure things, but it didn't. He would rebuke it and it would leave. If you rebuke it and it just will not, it just never leaves, maybe some implications that there's still some dross in the house that needs to be cleansed. The fourth spirit that has been unleashed upon the church is another gospel. His name is another gospel. Another gospel means something that is close. Please, I'm not your dictator. I'm not going to restrict you. I'm not going to ask you who you're listening to. I would ask you to be very, 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 very careful to the people and the pastors and the leaders that you're watching and that you're listening to. Check everything by the path that God's put you on. Okay? And they're not all going to say exactly. And some things you may have to say, okay, that's, you know, I'm just going to take that with a grain of salt. But I'm telling you, there is another gospel that looks like ours, and they are people that love God. They're going to go to heaven, but they will derail your walk in going forward in unity with us if you get off on another gospel. So that devil has already been released on us. There is a spirit, this sounds very general, but it is a spirit of diversions. Just being diverted in so many different ways. Just having so many different things that you're having to focus on. And this could be finances. I wanted to put, you know how your mind will start on things. 9, finances, 10, this, that. The Lord said, no, I'm not asking. This is not you coming up with a list. You tell them what I'm telling you. He said there's diversions, multiple diversions, and it could be your finances. It could be this. It could be that. But understand, kind of get a clue and say, look, I know we're 15 past, but it's okay. Get a clue. What are the diversions for? There are to stop you, you intercessors, from what your call is. Know the atmosphere around you. Why are all these things coming in bunches? The sixth devil is called lukewarm. It's called, he's just going to come and he's going to sit with you and cause you to feel like just blasé, just melancholy, just like, I don't know what all the fuss about this revival is. He wants to take the heart and soul, the fire out of you. If you're in love with somebody, you can't be around them enough. I know everybody has a day or two when they're like, but listen, you don't have to rev yourself up if you'll just stay in love with Jesus. If you'll just have a decent prayer closet, but otherwise lukewarm is going to come to your house. The seventh one that the Lord said is excuses. The devil is a devil of, he is, I know we've preached on this, we've went, you know, to Luke's gospel and talk about the, you know, I couldn't come because, but I'm telling you, those can be things of the flesh. There's a direct devil of excuses like never before that is coming or has come. Watch all your excuses. Why you can't. Why you can't pray. Why you can't do this. Why you can't do that. Why you can't do your assignment. There's, if you're listening to him, you'll be able to do your assignment in prayer and also do your physical work, your work at home and everything. But listen to the Holy Spirit and excuses in the realm of excuses. Last devil. And I say these things, I know what I've heard. The Lord said there is a, Dave would call him this. Dave said, to start with, I couldn't put a finger on it until I had to give him some pronounced title and a pronounced title of respect. And he said, I finally termed him as Mr. Destruction of Reasonings. Emotional reason, your emotions just go haywire. Your thoughts go haywire. Well, Pastor, I've never had that. You're a liar or you're not a revivalist. There's one or the other. I mean, if that phenomenon has not come to you, if that spirit has not come to you, or one of those devils that where you're just like, wow, it's hard for me to remember my name today. What's wrong with me? You know, have I got mental problems or what? And then, oh my God, where am I at? What's going on? Is the church really real? Maybe pastor's Satan in the flesh and just leading us all down the road. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. My God, he's taking us. Yeah. So we're just, you know, all these things. Absolutely. So you understand these devils. Destruction of reasonings will come to those who are on the front lines. And the other thing, too, that he'll say is, there's something wrong with you. You wouldn't feel this sense of depression or fear or, you know, after 50 years of serving the Lord or walking in great power, these things can revisit. They can revisit one just to see if they can distract you fighting a battle. And they're not really, they really don't have the investment inside of you, but they want you to fight with them. Or secondly, they want to reseed something. They want to reseed a ground that has already been hallowed. We're getting close. We have to finish today. That's one of the reasons why we're not having church tonight. Hallelujah. Number one, infirmities. Number two, division. Number three, lust and perversion. Well, I'm 75, and I'm 8. Yeah, you can still. Devils don't care who you are. They don't care. Diversions, lukewarm. I'm calling all these devils by name. Excuses and Mr. Destruction of Reasonings. That's your emotions, your mental thoughts. They go haywire. He comes in the room, they go haywire. He comes in the car, they go haywire. Intercessors will pick the things up that have come to distract them. Let me give you some scriptures, then we'll let you go. You'll rush out of here. Don't knock each other down. Okay? I hope Amber has survived the day. She's going to choke me, Dad. I'm just going to kill you. She's keeping our kids next door. You fight devils with scriptures aimed at devils. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against thee will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. The one thing I want you to, before I go to the next one, I want you to see this in Isaiah. You need to mark these down. Maybe we'll put them up. But Isaiah 54:17 says this, every tongue thou shalt prosper. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. That's very key, very key. Thou shalt condemn. You don't wait for God to condemn it. You condemn it. You speak to it and say, I'm not waiting for God to remove this. I'll remove it myself. I speak to you, you foul devil, in Jesus' name. How many of you ever walked around your house or in rooms and said, if you don't think that they're not a personality, they're just as real as I am. You've got to run them out sometimes. As long as they have got you thinking it's you, they're undercover. We're showing you 8 devils that are not that can't be covered anymore. When they come, you just speak to them. I'm much like my wonderful hero, Miss Donner. She says, I don't believe that there's a devil behind every bush. No, I don't. I believe there's thousands behind every bush, hundreds behind every bush, multitudes behind every bush. I say that to say this. There's a lackluster level of understanding in the church of spiritual warfare and understanding the atmosphere in the room. I'll judge any thought that comes to me that I know is a degree off. But when it comes to me 5, 6, 7, 8 times, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Hey, wait, whoa, time out. That's not me. That's not me. Not unless I've been looking at something or doing something and I don't do that. But you're living a life of love and purity, and then you get all the boom, boom, boom. Oh, hey. Time out. Shut up. Thank you. Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus said, and he said, said, it is written. You better get a bunch of it is writtens in your repertoire of speaking. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He had something to come back every time the devil come against him. And I'm just going to, Matthew 4:7, Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. 4:10, thou shalt not, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How many of you have ever said, get thee behind me? You better leave the house. Get off the property. Get out of the car. Leave the church. Just a few more. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes you'll have to speak that against one of those things that are coming. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you, than he that is in the world. Devil, greater is he that's in me. Now I know you're coming against me with destruction of reasons or this, that, and the other, but I'm speaking directly to you. You're a personality. You're in the room. You're across, I don't know where you're across, where you're at. Don't matter. Get out. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you, give unto you power to tread upon serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you or harm you. Last one, Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies, and they loved not their life unto the death. Hallelujah, unto death. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Do you feel like we've gone on a journey today and exposed the devil? Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the week. Let me bless you. If you're watching this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, this has been an extended service. I do not apologize for it. It is necessary. It's absolutely necessary if we're going into revival. So right now, if you do not know Jesus, the simple words of come into my life, forgive me of my sins and wash me in your blood is all you need to do, and you will become transformed. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for the hour in which we live in, because you have brought exposure, because we love you. You'll help us to navigate going forward towards revival. We commit this day, these people and those that are watching and all of our family, in Jesus' name, unto you, Lord. Amen. God bless you.